the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Welcome to The Middle, a podcast reclaiming Christianity from left and right wing nut jobs. You like that? I think I renamed it. But seriously, welcome to the Roundtable Podcast. The reason that we started with that is that Don's going to write a book. I'm going to let him write it. But we often say, like, oh man, we got to land in the middle. And these right wing nut jobs and these left wing nut jobs swinging too far one way or the other. The middle is the sweet spot with everything. So there you go. As I was walking,
maybe I could do the forward.
You like could. Hey, yeah. This book did not change my life at all. But as I was walking here, I took the car home and walked here, and I was like, yeah, the middle, reclaiming Christianity from all the. I was like, ooh. I was going to say redeeming Christianity. I was like, that's too far. Yeah, that's too far. It's a little prideful.
Yeah.
So, anyways, thanks for tuning in. We're a minute in already, so we just waste so much time. We actually got a podcast question. Woo-hoo! We love it from our listener, one of our listeners. I think we have five, but we have a podcast question, so we love that. Last week, we just decided, hey, we're going to tackle some tough passages of Scripture, but we're going to pause on that. That's kind of our safety, our fallback in case no one asks a question. But we got a question in, so I'm going to read it, and then we'll try and answer it. So it says, hey, Andrew, got a podcast topic for you. Can you talk about balancing the need to preach the gospel using words and the role of deeds and actions in that? I know words are necessary to preach the gospel, but how should actions be involved? And this person gets into like some examples, which we won't necessarily go into, but he said, you know, sometimes churches, they might cancel a Sunday and like, hey, let's do a service Sunday or whatever. And you go out and mow lawns or pick up garbage or whatever it is. Or sometimes, you know, these random acts of kindness nights. I mean, we used to do that when I was in youth group. It was like, hey, our random act of kindness night, let's just go out and see how we can help people do stuff. And this person says, you know, these seem great. I don't get how they help glorify God. It seems to me like they're all just to make people think Christians are nice. So I guess the question is, how do you balance that? You know, when we're talking about preaching the gospel using words, and what is the role of whatever you want to call it, deeds, actions, works. So what do you think, Don? Why don't you kick us off here? Mm-hmm. Is it necessary? Is it one or the other? What do you think?
I think what the title of the book was there said already, we're going to meet in the middle.
This is going to be chapter 4 in our book.
Well, it's interesting that even on the ministerial, like we have our local government asking for us as churches to be more of a presence.
Hmm.
So they're thinking that as the church, there would be this just the natural flow towards good deeds and loving our community. So I've even been listening to a few sermons where if we're going to reach our community, there's going to have to be this balance of good deeds and love.
Yep.
And we're going to have to get out there and do that. And it's going to take work. And there might be seasons of not being able to say anything about.
Yeah.
But through the love and good deeds, there's going to have to be that balance of eventually, hopefully we will gain a spot to share the gospel.
Yeah.
So I think we don't want to stop at the good deeds because that wouldn't be good, but we don't want to just say we're not going to do any good deeds and we're just going to preach the gospel without any good deeds, because for many in our community, that would just be, there would be no depth to that. It would be like all we are is a project.
Right.
You don't really care about us. So,
yep.
So yeah, trying to figure that balance out is...
Yeah, because let's talk about like the two extremes. So you have on one side, and I know churches and people like this, where it's almost this social gospel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they say, oh, Francis Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. Now, the issue with that is Francis of Assisi actually never said that. It's credited to him, but he actually never said that.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, what? He's spinning in his grave. But they say they use that as saying, oh, see, like we're preaching the gospel through our actions, and you know, use words if necessary. So it's kind of this, we aren't going to actually use words. We're just going to preach the gospel through our actions and deeds. And I know lots of churches and Christians that do that. Let's just be all about the social justice, all about actions. We're going to serve and serve and serve and serve in the community, but never open our mouths. So that's one extreme. Now, we'll get to the issue with that in a second. But the other extreme then is just straight always preach the gospel. So this could be, you know, Buddy on the soapbox with his megaphone thing saying like, I'm not going to actually love any of these people or serve them. I'm just going to yell at them and preach the gospel. And I've heard lots of people like, say that that's great. That's what I'm called to. Jesus told me to do this. And then I would say, well, what's the fruit? Are you seeing any fruit in that? Like, are people actually repenting and coming to know Jesus by your angry yelling? Maybe, but I doubt it. So you have the two extremes. And I think, again, we joke about the book, the middle, but like, I really do think the middle, this not swinging too far to the left or to the right is the sweet spot where biblically I think Jesus calls us to be. Not just angrily preaching the gospel with our words and not just hoping that people guess the gospel through our actions. Because again, so the critique on both sides is, you know, if you just, oh, I'm just going to be nice and do nice things, no one's going to guess the gospel. I forget who said that. Someone said that. But you said, no one's going to guess the gospel because you mowed their lawn. No one's going to say like, oh, you mowed my lawn? Well, I must be a sinner and Jesus saves me through just like through faith. No one's going to guess that. They'll just be like, oh, thanks. You mowed my lawn. Now on the other side, someone angrily yelling at you and you're telling them like, God loves you and we love you. And they're going to be like, what? No, you don't. You haven't done anything to show me that you love me. So I think both extremes are wrong. So Don, what is the Bible? I don't know. We're talking about a balance. Show me where in the Bible does it talk about kind of both being
everywhere? But we were talking about the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus goes through the Beatitudes even, and he says, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
So that's already a proactive thing that you're actively promoting the peace. And somebody could say, well, there's only peace through Jesus. But to get there, there is this action of promoting peace. And then right after that, Jesus said, you're the salt and the light of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so salt is a preserving seasoning, and light too. It's getting out there and being salt and light. So there's this, we're in this world being salt and light. And even just following Jesus through Matthew, where we've been, I'm thinking of the two feedings of the 5,000, 4,000.
Yeah,
it says there that Jesus had compassion on the crowds and he went out of his way to heal the sick, to feed them. He was deeply concerned about their physical needs, and he didn't necessarily even preach the gospel in those couple of incidences.
Right, right.
So he had compassion and he showed them his love. But if you follow Jesus through that, all sprinkled through all his compassion and love, he has this constant call to come to him for salvation, rest, to repent and turn to him. But the people knew that he loved them and he cared for them, but yet he had this call to follow him and repent all through that. So it was this great balance of this compassion and love, and yet a call to come and follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And some did and some didn't.
Yeah.
Some enjoyed the blessings of his feedings, his miracles, but never did follow him. But there were some who did. So love that balance all through Matthew of this life of love and service.
Yeah.
And this call to discipleship.
Yeah, because even in Matthew 5, when what you read there, You know, we're salt, we're light. And then Jesus says in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. So there's works, mm-hmm. whatever that means, and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So Jesus doesn't say, like, let your light shine before others by just standing and preaching the gospel at them. He says, through what? Through your good works, so that people see your good works. And then the end result is that is they give glory to God in heaven. Even in James 2, you know, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So, I mean, it's just practically we're called to actually do good works, not to save us, but because we are saved. That because we've experienced the gospel, because we, again, you know, I've been listening to think the same thing as you. But Tim Keller says, once the penny drops, mm-hmm. right, once the gospel sinks into your heart and you understand it, it should radically change the way that you live. And so I think oftentimes when people are arguing about doing good works, mm-hmm. I'm like, I actually don't think maybe you don't understand the gospel, because mm-hmm. the gospel radically changes your life. And then what James is saying is that good works don't save you. And when you understand the gospel, you get that. You go, I'm not saved through my good works, but I'm saved unto good works. Is it Ephesians that says that God has prepared, Ephesians 2:10 or something like that, that God has prepared ahead of time for you so that you would actually step into that good work. So I don't think that you could say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and yet I don't want to do good works. Because then James would say, well, actually, your faith is dead. You don't even have faith. Yeah. Do you have another passage there?
Yeah, well, even just going back to in John there, where Jesus said the mark of Christians would be their love for each other. So this radical love would be what we're known about. So I guess Romans chapter 10 does make it clear that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So there has to be a place where, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So that will have to be proclaimed. I guess in Peter, this is something that's kind of encouraged me. Peter says that we're, I was trying to find it, 1 Peter 2:11 and 12, he says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. So there's that living in such a way that your unbelieving neighbors would give honor to God. They would notice this love and good deeds. Yeah. And then in the next chapter, Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. So there he gives the balance that as you live out this honorable life and doing these good deeds, when someone asks, why do you do this or what is your hope?
Yep.
Then with gentleness and respect, he said, give the answer. Tell them why you do this, because Jesus is your Lord and what he's done for you.
Yep.
So I love that balance there that Peter says, live in such a way that they'll honor God and they'll see your good works. But then when they do ask about it, then go ahead and tell them. Don't cave into fear at that point, but then you have your chance to say why you do this. And it's because I follow Jesus Christ, and here's what he wants me to do and how he's shown his love to me. And there's a great opportunity to balance the two and do both of them.
You do, again, because the gospel is good news. It's meant to be proclaimed. So you do have to use words. But it's almost, that the good works that we do and blessing our community and blessing our neighbors. And that's a byproduct of the gospel. And then it, like you just said, like then it should lead people to ask questions like, why are you doing this? Because here's the thing. There's lots of very nice people who do good works that aren't followers of Jesus. And they just do it because they want to be good citizens and they want to help people. Like, so it's not as if it's only Christians doing good works. But then if all it is like if we go out and we do good works and then we never give the reason why, again, no one's going to guess. It must be because you're Christians, because there's lots of non-Christians who do great things. So it's almost as if, like Jesus is saying, that people would ask, see your light, right, or salt or whatever metaphor, see your good works, and then it's like they're asking, like, why are you doing that? A lot of good works that we see people doing, it is self-serving. It's because it makes me feel good. It's because if I give money, I get a tax receipt. So a lot of good works that our world does is self-serving. So when people ask, like, why are you doing this? Right, I love that you said that, what is it, cave into fear. So often it's like, oh, just trying to be nice, or like just trying to be a good neighbor. And then you've missed this great opportunity to say, because Jesus saved me and I just want to follow him and obey him. Like, you have a huge opportunity when you, whatever, lend money to your neighbor because they went bankrupt or whatever. I mow their lawn or watch their kids or do whatever to bless people. Like, it should come up. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you guys so nice? Why are you, what's different about you? And so don't cave into that of like, oh, just trying to be nice people, good neighbors. You know, you have a great opportunity to say, this is why we want to bless others, because we have been so blessed in Jesus. And so then that can kind of open up doors. Mm-hmm. So even like, so Don, you were a carpenter for 40 years or whatever it was.
Close. Not quite.
So do you have some examples of seeing that you on the job side or in your own life where you almost like how you lived gained you, I don't know, trust to be able to share the gospel with people?
I've often shared this, but just when I do start a job, I've worked for some of the bigger commercial construction companies in town and always wanted to be a good witness and hopefully get a chance to share with people. And it was always really interesting to me that the first week or two, if I would try to share something, it was usually met with a very closed doors. But after showing respect and love and just trying to help, you know, each other out, it was always interesting to me after a couple months, then people would want to talk about things or ask me why I believe in this, and I would gain opportunities. Yeah. And it was because of that respect. I remember one supervisor, he heard I was a Christian, and so he gave me the dirtiest jobs he could find the first week or so. And I just did them without complaining. And he finally says, what is with you? Like, and he totally backed off. And he just said, I'm going to destroy you like we did the other Christians that have been here. And he openly said that.
Hmm.
So I just said, well, God, help me just to do these jobs. And I did them without complaining. And all of a sudden he was asking, so why do you believe this? And he got right in front of everybody else, he asked me these questions, and I was sharing the gospel, and everybody else is in this room.
Yep.
And it was because I just shut up. I didn't complain. I just did what he told me to do, the dirty jobs, didn't complain. And all of a sudden, he was wanting to know, why would you do that?
Huh.
And so it happened over and over like that. You know, when you want to share without that relationship, it just doesn't work. And I think that's kind of our community at large sees our churches as these private clubs that don't engage in the community.
Yeah.
And they're really suspect of what we're doing, what we're all about. And as we go into the community and do some of these acts of love and good deeds, they begin to do the same thing. Like, okay, these guys are actually engaged in the community. Yeah. And And maybe you won't gain a chance, but chances are you will. People yeah. will ask, like, why do you do this?
Yeah.
And then there we have our opportunities. So
yeah,
it's building those relationships. Because, just like I said, the community at large is already suspect. So we could preach away and declare, but it'll be met with a closed, because you guys don't care.
Because people's eyes will glaze over. And
it is that love and concern, just like Jesus, that will gain. But then we also want to not cave to fear. And totally. We do want to declare that Jesus, the love he showed to us, we want to share that with you and with our community.
Yeah.
And hopefully there will be a chance to share the gospel.
Yeah, because I think, again, lots of people have said it, but it's that idea of, if your church disappeared, would your city even care? Or would they even notice? And I think, by and large, lots of churches, if they close the doors, maybe the Christians would notice, but by and large, the community, like, it's funny, even when I you go get your hair cut or you go whatever and people ask you, oh, what do you do? And it's, I'm a pastor. Oh, which church? North Peace MB Church. No one has any idea where that is or what it is. They're like, what? I'm like, oh, the one near CM Finch. Oh yeah, I've driven by there. So you go, if our church disappeared, would people actually notice or care? And so that's a good gauge at how, it's embarrassing when the Rotary Club is more involved in the community than your church, because as believers, we should be serving the city for the good of the city. Not just so that, a lot of people, we treat it as a project. Okay, fine. I'll be nice to my neighbors and have them over, so that I can just preach the gospel at them and then convert them. And then I'm on to the next, that's totally, and people can smell that a mile away when they're like, stop treating me like a project. But when you are saying, I genuinely love my neighbors and I genuinely love my city, and I want to, because I've been saved by Jesus, I want to serve my neighbors and serve my city with the hopes that they will come to know Jesus too. But that might take 15 years, and to be okay with that and go, I'm still going to just love and serve them, and because Jesus loved and served me by dying for me. So again, it's that question of, would our community notice? If all the churches just kind of close their doors, would our community notice? That's a good, or even if you as a neighbor, if you left your neighborhood, would people notice? Would they go, oh man, we miss Andrew and Molly. They were so great. They loved us and they cared for us. A lot of times it's like, who used to live there? Oh, there's a for sale sign. It's, oh, there's a new family. I'm not going to bother meeting them either. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, we just decided with our life group, hey, let's throw a neighborhood party, because we said, we just want to love our neighbors. So next week we're going to throw a big barbecue, and our life group is paying for the food and blah, 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 blah. But we went door to door to invite our neighbors, and no one really knows each other. And it was kind of like the door is opened suspiciously. Like, hello, who are you? It's like, hey, we're your neighbors. It was like, are for real? Like, which house? Oh, the blue one. Like, because I think we live in a world where there's a book called The Art of Neighboring, where we've just lost that of, hey, let's hang out as neighbors. It's kind of like we have our fenced yards. We drive home, drive into our garage, close the garage door, and we stay inside. So we've just intentionally tried, let's play in the front yard and talk to our neighbors and try and just be good neighbors, in the hopes that people will go what is with you guys? Like, why are you throwing parties? Why are you trying to get to know us? Wow. We love Jesus and we want to serve you guys. And you know what I mean? So it's just interesting that you have a huge opportunity with how you live, the good works that you do, to point people to Jesus. So I would say both. So I'm going to get extreme here, Don. Both swings, if you swing to the just good works, people, I don't need to use words, or if you swing, I'm only going to preach, and no good works, I would say both are sinful and disobedient to Jesus. Because I think Jesus commands both things. Do good works. Faith without works is dead. But then he also, we have to open our mouths and preach the gospel. And so if you just, if you live your life either way, I think you're missing the mark, and you're not fully obeying Jesus. Was that too extreme?
It's pretty hardcore.
You know me. Hardcore Evie. That's what they call me.
But you're right. I mean, it's if you're just preaching, you know, without that love, then you're a Pharisee.
Yeah.
And you're like a noisy gong. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. You could preach so eloquent with all the wisdom in the world, but if there's no love, it's like a clanging gong, which is exactly what kind of happened in my first week or two of work. It was a clanging gong to people. But after a couple months of working side by side and talking through issues and showing this love and respect, then all of a sudden it wasn't a noisy gong. It was, tell me about this. And knowing that I have the freedom to say I don't agree or I don't like it, but at least I got a chance to share why.
Yeah.
And for some, we carried on. For some, oh, that's good enough for me. I don't want to talk anymore about that anyways. So I don't think that's too extreme because it leads to Phariseeism on one hand.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it just gives people a comfortable ride to hell.
Yeah, really.
Basically.
Yeah. And that's what we don't want. Yeah, I just was making sure. Because you know me, I'm very careful on what I say. Because I think, too, like, and again, Dawn and I have been listening to the same, there's a, you know, Tim Keller talk that he gave, The Supremacy of Christ and the Gospel in a Postmodern World. And again, I think it's, when it comes back to the gospel, it's, do we actually believe it and know it? Because if we do, it will change the way we actually live. Because I think a lot of times, and I love that when Keller says, you know, lots of people, when we say like, oh yeah, I understand the gospel, he's like, you have no idea. You don't. Because once we land and we go, yeah, totally, justification by grace through faith. Yeah, I was a sinner, I'm saved, I got the gospel. He's like, no, you don't. Because you, and you know, he says you spend your whole life uncovering more and more truths of not different truths, but you're just the gospel is becoming more and more real and you understand it more and more and more in your life. So I think lots of times when we say we believe the gospel and yet we don't love people and we're not serving them and we don't want to do good works, I'm like, do we actually get the gospel though? I don't think we do fully. Because I think Jeff Vanderstelt was the guy that said, because people are want to know, is it true in our world? Is this actually true? Is there like, you know, is it real? And then does it work? Because a lot of times we say with our words, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. But then with our lives, we're saying, but it doesn't really work because people are saying, has it, like, you're no different than you were. So you're saying that the gospel is true, it's true, it transformed my life. And yet you don't look any different. So we want to, through our good works and our good deeds, say the gospel is true and it actually works. Like, it's changing my heart. It makes me love people. I want to serve them. I want to give my life for them. So we want to show people that.
Yeah.
So I would say as far as application, Don, so I'm one of the listeners and I fall into one of the two extremes. So what is like some steps that I can take to maybe come to the middle besides buying Andrew's book, which would help me.
Well, that'll be a couple years before it's out though.
$29.99 hardcover.
In the meantime, I guess for myself too, I try to do this heart check for, you know, moving too far to the one side in leaning towards Phariseeism. Do I love my neighbors? Because you could tell right away as soon as you think about going to my neighbors and blessing them, is there this little, I don't know.
Yeah.
It should be a more natural thing, like Jesus went out of his way to love people that he knew would reject him even and nail him to the cross. And so I think application-wise, do a heart check. Am I loving my neighbors the way Christ would love? And if, you know, for me too, I often have to repent and say, no, I am not. So how can I intentionally, maybe like Andrew did, they're inviting their neighbors to a party. So whatever, you know, small step you could take to yeah. love that person. The other side where you love doing good deeds and you love loving, are you giving away to fear?
Yeah.
And you know, having opportunities come that you're, I just want to do a good deed. I just, you know, then you're going to have to ask for courage and you don't have to, like I put here, there's no pressure to share the whole gospel every time. Maybe you could share a little bit of it's my relationship with Jesus that when I understand how much he loves me, I just want to love.
Yeah.
And if there's more opportunity, he says, oh, well, tell me more, tell him more. Yeah. If that's it, then leave it and keep loving. They'll ask more questions. But there's this need to check that fear, too, mm-hmm. because the hope is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if we never tell them, especially if there's been opportunities, and I've been there. I've had opportunities that I know later, oh, man, I knew I had a chance. Totally. And I asked Jesus to forgive me. And I know a couple times they asked, could you give me another chance? And another chance will come up with the same person. And I just share a little bit, and the door was open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave way to fear, and I had to ask for forgiveness. So so I think both things, application is just to do a heart check.
Yeah.
Am I loving my neighbors and coworkers in a way that I just love them? And then when opportunities come up, am I, you know, too fearful to go there? Like I need to somehow practice with your spouse or practice with a friend, even just sharing a bit of your story. I think we did that at our family camp. You know, can you share your story? And that's all it is. What, you know, what are some of the things Jesus has done in your life?
Yep.
And just share that, and you don't have to feel that pressure of saying the whole thing, but just share some of the reasons why you're doing this.
Yep.
And so I don't know. Those are a couple of things.
I think that's really good. And I would agree. And it's just on both sides, it's realizing that both extremes are kind of missing the mark. And like you said, just asking for forgiveness and saying, okay, and then stepping into that. Like maybe it is just getting to know your neighbors. Maybe it is serving them somehow. But just taking that initial step. And I've shared this before, like we were really bad. We lived next door to someone and then they ended up moving and we had never met them. And we were like, shoot, we totally missed an opportunity to just love them and get to know them. So then when the next people moved in, we said, okay, we're not going to make that mistake again. And I'll tell you, like it was scary going. And I'm just like, it's just people. Why is it so scary? But it just was knocking on their door and we brought them cookies for moving in. And as I rang the doorbell, I was like praying, please God, don't let them be home. Because I was like, this is just weird. It's stepping out of your comfort zone to just love people and serve them. But I would say it's that initial step where it's not rocket science. It's not hard. It's just realizing that Jesus so loves you and what he did for you and then saying, I just want to love other people. And I mean, that's hard for my wife. My wife's an introvert. So to have people over and to like, she doesn't like that. It's not her personality, but she's been really good. She's like, okay, I know that we're called to do this. So we're going to step into that and I'm going to, you know, buckle up and just do it. And then even though then the other side is then, like when God gives, like you said, like not to shy away from those opportunities where you can, you know, share a gospel truth with someone or kind of take the conversation in a gospel direction, because a lot of the times it's like, you know, we're doing good deeds and oh man, now it's like crunch time, I'm gonna chicken out. So yeah, it's like it's to have that balance, I think, is what is really key. Mm-hmm. To land in the middle, coming out July 2020, give me 2 years. Wow. Co-writer.
Okay.
And we'll say the first 5 listeners to send us questions get a free book in 2020.
A signed book.
A signed copy. And I'll come to your church and promote my book and become a millionaire so that I can bless the community. See what I did there? Anyways, hopefully that's been helpful for some of you listening. If you're yeah, how do you balance faith and works? It just always comes off the rails at the end. That's my fault. Anyways, hopefully, you can engage the community and do good works so that you gain that trust and ability to share the gospel. So we will talk to you next week.